Champaign, obviously we're in some weird times right now, and while Belmont is the first leg of the Triple Crown this year, the public might perceive it as, okay, horse racing is back, but in reality, the sport never really took that much of a break, right?
That's correct. There were several tracks that stayed racing with modified rules, most notably Oaklawn Park down in Arkansas, Gulfstream Park down in Florida. A number of others also stayed open as well. A number of tracks, however, are reopening, and they're doing so with, of course, modified procedures and policies. No fans on Saturday at Belmont Park. That's going to be the norm for the foreseeable future in New York, even leading into Saratoga, so be mindful of that. It's a situation where when this all happened and Triple Crown races wound up getting rescheduled and things kept getting moved around, the New York Racing Association was faced with precisely zero good options. Had they run the mile and a half Belmont in June as scheduled, very few horses would have run simply because of a lack of foundation and a lack of preparation. Had they moved it to October after the Kentucky Derby and the Preakness later this year, all of a sudden you're looking at a situation where three-year-olds are bypassing the third leg of the Triple Crown, the Belmont Stakes, at a mile and a half to prepare for either the Breeders' Cup Classic or the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile in November at Keeneland. There were no good options here. NYRA opted to push the Belmont back 2 weeks to this coming Saturday, which is tomorrow, and they opted to shorten the race to a mile and an eighth. This was not a popular move. The Belmont is seen as an endurance test, a way to separate the very good three-year-olds from the great and legendary three-year-olds. Having said that, from my standpoint, I get why they did it. Any decision that they made was going to have some negative repercussions. And what we have in the Belmont is a 10-horse field with arguably the best three-year-old in training, and Tis the Law, headlining that field as the 6-5 favorite. All things considered, Nick, it could have been a heck of a lot worse.
Well, I feel kind of surprised there are only 10 horses in this field, because you would think, at least from my perspective, not necessarily being a horse racing handicapper like you, but if they've shortened the race to a mile and an eighth, wouldn't that maybe entice more people to want to be a part of it?
Well, the problem with that is trainer Bob Baffert had three other horses in training for most of this year. The fourth was Tis the Law, he's running. Bob Baffert had three other horses, Nadal, Charlatan, and Authentic. Nadal has been retired due to an injury, which is really unfortunate because I've really liked watching that horse run. Charlatan, for those of you who do not know, had a positive drug test in Arkansas after winning the Arkansas Derby. They are waiting on the backup sample or the B sample to come back before they decide on what they're going to do there. Authentic, meanwhile, ran in the Santa Anita Derby here in California 2 weeks ago, ran second, beaten by a horse named Honor AP, whose name you're going to want to remember for later in the year. That's a really nice horse. Authentic was second. We haven't heard the last of him, but Bob Baffert is not going to ship him across the country for a race in 2 weeks. It's just not going to happen. It's not the way horses nowadays are built. When the Belmont Stakes was rescheduled, NYRA envisioned a 16-horse field, potentially. That did not happen. They wound up with 10. It looked like about 7 or 8 up until a couple of days ago. Modernist was opted in by trainer Bill Mott, and we'll talk about that one in just a bit. And also trainer Doug O'Neill of I'll Have Another and Nyquist fame is sending 4 left cross-country. 4 left's last race was over in Dubai. He won a Group 3 event over there in the United Arab Emirates and is running for the first time since February in this spot. So winds up bolstering the field up to a field of 10, which is still pretty sizable. It makes for a decent betting race. Tis the Law, the 6-5 morning line favorite. I'm still not sure you're going to get that price, but you'd have gotten a far lesser price with less horses in the field.
We're chatting with horse racing handicapper Andrew Champagne here on BTL. Make sure you follow him on Twitter at Andrew Champagne. Visit his website, andrewchampagne.com. You mentioned Tis the Law, obviously the huge favorite right now, 6-5, as you mentioned, after winning the Florida Derby and the Holy Bull. And he's clearly the cream of the crop in this group of three-year-olds. But what is it about this horse that makes him so good?
Well, do you want the snarky answer or the real answer? Because the snarky answer is he won the Grade 1 last year named after me. He won the Champagne Stakes at Belmont Park. And I really just said that just to try to get a rise out of your trusty host over there. And that's precisely the reaction I wanted. That
Thank
deep
you.
Sigh where he's trying to squelch a laugh. We go way back. Anyway, Tis the Law is 2-for-2 this year. He's 4-for-5 overall. The long loss came at Churchill Downs back in November over a very sloppy track where he didn't have the best of trips. In Florida this spring, though, he did nothing wrong. He won the Holy Bowl by 3 lengths with a 100 Beyer speed figure, and he could have run a good 4 or 5 lengths better than what he ran that day. He was wrapped up late, and they didn't really persevere with him because it was his first race back, and there were bigger objectives on the horizon. They ran him in the Florida Derby. He won that race by more than 4 lengths over a pretty good field. And even back then, even with the Baffert three-year-olds all in training at that point, I thought Tis the Law was the best three-year-old in the country. And if you look at the connections and they look familiar to you, the owner Saratoga Stable, the trainer Barkley Tagg, if you remember a horse from way back when named Funny Side, yeah, the New York bred that won the Kentucky Derby and the Preakness, that's the owner-trainer combination here. Good guys that I've gotten the pleasure to know. Jack Knowlton, actually an Ithaca College alum. He's one of the principal partners of Saratoga Stable. Barkley Tagg, a longtime horseman in his 80s, has gotten a really, really good horse, dead fit and ready to run this coming Saturday. And I think he looks very imposing here.
Obviously, he's the odds-on favorite, but who could possibly shock everyone and get an upset win at Belmont, if that's possible?
Well, Wise Guy backers will likely gravitate to one of a couple of horses drawn to the inside. Number one, Tap It to Win, is 6-1 on the morning line. I think he's going to go off shorter than that. I think he's going to be seen as the alternative based off of a very good allowance win at Belmont earlier this month. He led wire to wire that day, won by 5 lengths, earned a 97 Beyer speed figure, going a mile and a 16th in 1:39.3. That is very, very fast. Now, the question is, which Tap It to Win do we get? When Tap It to Win is good, he is very, very good. When Tap It to Win is bad, he is very, very bad, as evidenced by the 2 starts in October in Kentucky. He was 10th in both the Grade 1 Breeders' Futurity at Keeneland and in the Street Sense at Churchill. That last race, particularly disappointing. He was done after 6 furlongs that day. However, trainer Mark Cassie, who was supposed to go into the Hall of Fame this summer, will instead go in next summer, seems to have him ready to run, and he will be a pace factor. Meanwhile, number 2, Sol Volante, makes his second start off of a bit of a freshening. He is 4-for-6 for trainer Patrick Biancone, and he runs in off a very short rest. This is an old-school move. Sol Volante ran on June 10th at Gulfstream Park in an allowance race, won that day by 3/4 of a length. Again, was not necessarily asked for his best that day because this was considered to be the target. Horses generally do not run back on that short rest, especially when they have to ship. To me, that's a red flag. However, if the pace is quicker than I think it will be, Sol Volante has a big shot. The horse that I like a bit at a price is Modernist, number 4 in your program, and I mentioned him a little while ago because trainer Bill Mott, an old school horseman, didn't necessarily have him eyeing this race up until a big workout on Sunday at Belmont Park. He went 5 furlongs in 59 1/5, fastest of 16 works at the distance. And this is a horse that did a lot earlier this year. He won the Grade 2 Risen Star 2 back at Fairgrounds, was 3rd in the Louisiana Derby, going a mile and 3/16, and had a wide trip that day. He might not have gotten to the winner Wells Bayou, but I thought Modernist was at least second best that day. And I think his very presence in the race speaks volumes about how he's doing, because if he wasn't doing well, Bill Mott is the type of trainer that wouldn't have rushed him to this spot. He would have waited for something later this month, maybe in July, maybe the Travers at Saratoga on August the 8th. But Modernist is here. He's 15-1 on the morning line. Now, do I think he can necessarily beat Tis the Law? No. I think Tis the Law is head and shoulders above this group. But if you're looking for a wagering strategy here, what I might suggest is a cold exacta using Tis the Law on top of Modernist. And what that might do is give you a little bit of value on a horse that's going to be a heavy favorite. If Modernist runs second, all of a sudden, you stand to collect a nice chunk of change.
We're chatting with horse racing handicapper Andrew Champagne. Follow him on Twitter at Andrew Champagne. All right, so give us the lowdown for race 10 tomorrow at Belmont. Who you got?
Well, as mentioned, Tis the Law is going to be incredibly tough. He has the right running style for this race, sitting just off the speed and potentially pouncing going into the sweeping far turn at Belmont Park. If you've never been to Belmont Park, it is probably the biggest racetrack in the country. It's a mile and a half all the way around. They're not going all the way around. They're going a mile and an eighth. But the turn is a sweeping one, and I think he's going to be in a really good position coming off of that turn. You know the mile and an eighth distance is not going to be a problem for him. You know he likes Belmont Park with his win last year in the Champagne. this is a horse that makes a lot of sense for a lot of different reasons. If you're looking for a horse underneath, Modernist might be the one that I would suggest. Nick, I know it wasn't necessarily in the rundown we talked about. There is a horse that I like a couple races before that, and I'd like to give it out to your loyal listeners if you've got a moment.
Yeah.
Okay. So race number 8 is the Grade 1 Acorn. This is for 3-year-old fillies, female horses. Nick, you remember when I told you that Charlatan had a positive drug test at Oaklawn Park back
right.
in May?
Yeah.
Well, Bob Baffert had another horse test positive, and that was number 1, Gamine, who comes in off of a win at Oaklawn. Again, still waiting to hear what the backup samples came back as, whatever. That being what it is, I think Gamine is vulnerable here because of the way this race shakes out. There's a lot of early speed, and I don't think Gamine is going to have an easy time making the front end and holding everybody off. With the way this race shapes up, I want a closer, and I found one in the form of number 7, Perfect Alibi, who is 5-1 on the morning line. Perfect Alibi was a Grade 1 winner last year at Saratoga. She won the Grade 1 Spinaway. She also won the Grade 2 Adirondack. They stretched her out to 2 turns in October and November, and she didn't run terribly. She was 2nd in the Grade 1 Alcibiades at Keeneland, and she was 4th in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies. She hasn't run since. However, she's been working very consistently here at Belmont, and recently you've seen a bit of an uptick in her work pattern. I think she's ready to run, and the faster they go early, the more Perfect Alibi figures to like it. Again, 5-1 on the morning line, and I think represents a very attractive alternative to the likely favorite, number 1, Gamine. That's race number 8, the Grade 1 Acorn. The Belmont going is race number 10.
I hate to admit it, but I feel like I learn something new from you every time we chat, Champagne.
I am going to remind you of that and hold it over your head from now until the end of time.
Great. Andrew Champagne, horse racing handicapper. Follow him on Twitter at Andrew Champagne and his website, andrewchampagne.com. Thanks so much for a couple of minutes, dude.
It's not a problem, man. Anything I can do to help, and hopefully it's helped some people out there make some money on Belmont Day.